Item 5 is a zoning amendment agreement at 330 to 350 Lodge Avenue under file ZAA3/2014. Here's three council. There you go.
Right, I'll ask Chris Daly. How are you, Chris?
Hello, how are you guys this evening?
Well, please state your name and who you're with.
Yeah, I'm Chris Daly. I'm the architect for MMP Architects. Address is 300-214 McDermott Avenue.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Well, we've requested a zoning amendment for a height restriction currently attached in caveat form to the title. We've held our open house. It's been an oversight on our part how this has come about, and we're very apologetic for this amendment request. Unfortunately, it's happened, and now we've got to deal with the situation. So I've been working with the planning department to make sure that we fulfilled all of the requirements, and now I see that we have a recommendation from planning for approval. I'm prepared to answer any questions you guys might have as to why this scenario has come about. I don't know if there's anything specific. Otherwise, here I am.
I had a call today. I know someone had inquired, left a voicemail, and I think I know the answer to this, but if you could just clarify, the change in height isn't for the two-story houses that are along Reed and Ainsley. It's for
one
building. Is that right?
That's correct. It's I actually did bring a site plan here, if it pleases everybody to take a quick look at, and then I can explain the scenario. Would that be better? I didn't really bring big boards because I didn't think they'd be appropriate. But
these are the same, just one's color.
That's right. Yeah, one's color, one's black and white. So the amendment, the height amendment actually applies to the two central buildings on the property. Correct.
Okay.
And we're not asking for an additional story here by any means. It's still a four-story building. It's still 42 units as per the original zoning agreement. But what's happened was the caveat was originally applied at 40 feet for maximum building height. And that's a very hard thing to do within typical conventional construction. Unfortunately, we weren't aware of the caveat when we started the design, and for whatever reason, it fell through the cracks. Our building is built using a kind of a larger structural system than probably what was imagined at the time. And as a result, our building, which, like I said, is still the four stories, still 42 units, has grown in height by 6.5 feet. It's a structural issue. I could explain it in some depth if we want, but the reality is that nothing has changed from a programming perspective. It's simply construction typology and methodology has resulted in this issue and the request for the rezoning amendment. I've actually done sightlines studies from Reed and Ainsley and from Lodge as to scaling off the distance and including our duplex units, which are 27 feet high and do surround the property borders. It doesn't make any difference for sight lines from those areas. We've also done snapshots of, including actually today's shadow study based on 6 o'clock. And as you can see, the homes themselves along the perimeter actually cast more of a shadow onto the back lane than the building proper itself. And that's today, so as you can imagine, with summer approaching, these shadows will get shorter, not longer. So I know that there were some concerns when we did the open house in regards to people's gardens being shadowed and the rest of it, but I'd have to say that, you know, based on this time of year, I doubt highly that anyone's experiencing shadows along Rita before 7 o'clock at night by any building. So that's kind of where we sit, and, you know, this is based on an additional 6.5 feet, not 46.5 feet, so we're really changing it very slightly based on the scale of the property. Density is the same, like I said, everything else is the same, just the height.
No, I'm familiar with this. You know, to say that I'm over pleased that we have to go through the process and come back at it would be a bit of an understatement. I do appreciate all the information that you provided, and I don't necessarily think the confusion was on your side of the equation, but. In any event, I had asked the applicant to have an open house. I don't think there was a requirement to do as such, but I wanted to make sure that all the neighbors knew exactly what was going on. I guess there was a meeting, I understand, so if you could just maybe brief us on the meeting and what the neighbors had...
The open house went quite well. We canvassed the streets directly around the property lines on Rita, Ainsley, and Golden Gate Bay. Approximately 80-odd flyers were handed out, as well as, of course, the signs on site. We had about 20, maybe 25 persons attend between a two-hour period last Tuesday night. Most were concerned with the idea that we were asking for additional stories, which meant additional units. I'd have to say that 95% of the persons or more were appeased by the fact that when I explained to them that this was simply just a matter of building typology, and that was we were talking about 6 feet and nothing else changed, that everyone went away fairly pleased. I won't say everybody, but 95% plus. And fortunately, we were lucky enough to have some members of the planning department there present as well, which we really very much appreciated. Obviously, post that, they've allowed the recommendation to be carried through to the committee here. So they must have felt the same way I did following it. We had the opportunity to talk one-on-one with most of the people, and again, I think there was a miscommunication rumor going around at the time as to what exactly we were asking for. But none of us wanted to come back for this issue either, and I do apologize on behalf of myself and my client that we are here. But we are, so.
Okay, I think we understand the issues.
All right. No other questions for Chris? Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, sir.
We may call you back here in a moment respond to any comments that may be made by people in opposition. And at that time, you can only respond to those questions. You can't add any new information. We have in support Mr. Ed Grezda.
Grezda.
Sorry, sir. Would you like to speak? Are you, you're in support? Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Any other individuals in support? Any others in support? Seeing none. We have one individual registered in opposition, Mr. Fred Morris. Would you like to speak, Mr. Morris?
Fred Morris, unit 72425 Portage, which is very close to the site. And I would just like to make one point here, is I realize that this development is a lot bigger than a lot of people wanted it to be, but I also realize we're beyond the point of no return. So it's the people will have to get used to maybe the development maybe being twice as big as a lot of people might have liked it to be. But I would say as for making it even bigger by making it a little bit higher, I'd like to point out one thing, and this is on the minutes of the council meeting of March 25th, 2009. It states here quite clearly that the Assiniboia Community Committee says the height of the four-story building has already been addressed. So if you allow this to get higher now, you're contradicting what was said by this community committee 5 years ago. And this is right off of the minutes of the council meeting in 2009.
Well, I think it's a new application, though, is it not? They're applying for a variance to vary what was allowed before. So, when you make comments on a plan that's before you, that's your comments before the plan, and someone applies for a zoning amendment agreement, it's a different agreement that you're looking at.
But I think the height was a big issue 5 years ago, and if anything, maybe an uneasy compromise is the best we can describe it. And now you're, and could there be other amendments further down the road that make it get the whole development get bigger than it already is?
Anyone can apply for a zoning amendment agreement to an application.
Yeah.
So same thing if you have a house and you do something that's varies in terms of what you're allowed, I can't control if someone files an application. Like you could, in theory, if you had a house, you could knock your house down and say, I'm going to build a 25-story condominium. Doesn't necessarily mean that the city would support that, but you're entitled to make an application. So really anyone that comes forward, they're entitled to make a zoning amendment agreement, and it's our job to listen to both sides of the case. If you come or whomever comes, we have to adjudicate over that, so we make a decision on it. So you know, to be fair, I can't guarantee that, that they're not going to make another change to it. It sounds like their plan is pretty lock solid, but, you know, I don't, if you're asking for a guarantee from this committee, we can't guarantee that because it's really out of our hands.
Okay, you are contradicting what you said 5 years ago.
What are we contradicting, though? But
because the height of the four-story building has been addressed.
Okay, but hang on a second. What was approved in the community committee is different, right? Because they came back and they're saying we want 6 extra feet because there was obviously a mistake that was made. So what are we contradicting? I don't understand because this is a different application than what came through the community committee the first time. So what exactly are we contradicting?
Well, you're contradicting this minutes of the council meeting, March the 25th, 2009. And height was a big issue then.
Yeah, but there's two different reports, right? So yeah. We didn't have that information. We didn't know that there was a mistake that's going to be made, and they're going to apply for a zoning, you know, amendment. So I don't really understand what your point is.
Well, I think you should have known 5 years ago. You shouldn't have put this on the minutes.
But how would I know that there's going to be a mistake and they're going to build something 6 feet higher than what's allowed? I mean, I don't read, you know, I don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah. Paula.
What exactly, so I'm going to the report then from 2009. What exactly do you feel is different then? Because when we rezone something or make changes to its status, we're dealing with just that parcel of land. So right. This was changed to RMF. And perhaps the planners could correct me, RMFM at that time. And it's not really changing in terms of what was approved back in 2009. I mean, if you look at any, on this same agenda, there's a number of items at Seasons of Tuxedo, and they've since changed now. I mean, it just evolves the way the market evolves. This happened to be an error. So I guess I'd like to know from you specifically what from this agenda.
Well, I think basically, and I realize that, you know, the development's already started and it can't be changed, but basically our big issue was I don't think people were necessarily opposed to the development here, but they felt it was far too big for the area. It's surrounded by about 60 homes. And now 5 years later, we're suddenly it's getting a little bit higher, and perhaps there's a feeling that, you know, there could be other amendments on the road. And, you know, or is this?
I don't seem to notice that any more units have been attached, and Mr. Daly just did state that the units are staying exactly the same, so I don't know where it would get bigger.
It's getting higher, and that was a big issue back 5 years ago.
Well, particularly with the units that are on the perimeter of the property. This is on the interior of the property. So.
What would you do in our case? If you were sitting in this chair, I mean, what would you deny the application? Or, like, how would you deal with it, I guess, is the question.
Well, I think the application could be denied, and it could make it so that it has to be the same height that it was, because the height was a big issue.
It was a issue. Among others.
Among others, okay.
Two of us were here.
Yeah. But I looked both of them up, and they were both 132 units. So the number of units, the level of busyness is not changing really. So.
Because there's that issue with some childhood issues where people aren't necessarily opposed to the development, but they think there's too much of it. And this was definitely a factor in this debate, too.
Well, the last development was in 1992.
And just one other question, if I may. Something that comes up all the time, and I put it in my email today. There's also an implication here that at some point there's been a traffic study about how this is going to impact the traffic in the area. Is that traffic study available?
We'll have to ask the administration.
I think that's part of the record, was it, from the original applications?
I'm
pretty sure, because actually I remember during the actual process in the committee hearing, I think I did ask for traffic. I'm pretty sure they did, because I think the developer was kind of a little upset that he had to spend extra money to do the traffic study, but I knew it was something that was going to impact our, you know, some of the people in the area. So I'm pretty sure that they did have a traffic study. So it might be attached to the original report. If it isn't, I'm sure. Is it attached?
It's attached to the. It was part of the report in 2009 that the architects at that time, the developers, did a traffic study, and several key items were addressed.
So what does it say? What does the traffic study say?
Well, it says on here that traffic will reduce from on the site was a school, so that implies to me that there's
a traffic study. I was asking these guys just to, if you guys have it there.
Yeah,
this
you have it pulled up? Yeah, this is it. Could you read that?
It says a key finding of the traffic impact assessment is that there will be significant reductions in traffic volumes as compared to when the Silver Heights School was in operation. Regarding this, the study concludes the following, and then it talks about AM peak hours and PM peak hours, and during a weekday, there's a net decrease in traffic.
Okay. It might actually be a good idea to circulate that maybe among the neighbors, because there's concern that there's going to be more traffic concern. I hear it all the time in that neighborhood. But.
Sure.
Any further comments, Mr. Morris?
No.
All right.
No, not for now, anyway.
Okay,
thank you very much.
All right. Is there anyone else in opposition to the application? Seeing none, Mr. Daly, if you'd like to return and rebut anything that you heard by Mr. Morris, you can close.
I just want to state for the record that there will not be any additional zoning amendments requested by this development group. Unfortunately, I was not the architect at the time in 2009 when the zoning was approved, and so I wasn't aware of the caveat. Now, I know that's not an excuse, but unfortunately, that's what it is. And had I been at the time, I probably would have requested a couple extra feet so we could have built this thing properly to begin with. I do understand that a traffic study is done, and I can imagine that there's less volume of traffic, particularly Monday to Friday. Other than that, like I said, I don't see the 6 feet as being that big an impact on the area whatsoever. That's it.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you coming today.
All right. Sure, I'm ready to move a motion, Mr. Chair. I'll move the receipt of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.
I'll move the receipt of this public representation be concluded.
All those in favor? Opposed? Carried.